Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The North Dakota Supreme Court upholds a ban on abortion. We're going to be talking about this development on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, this is great. The North Dakota Supreme Court has restored a near total ban on abortions, which is delivering a major victory for pro-life advocates who hailed the decision as a critical step in safeguarding unborn children across the state. You know, we celebrated in 2022 when Roe was overturned, right, in the Supreme Court, but then it sent it all back to the states to make a decision about what are they going to do about life and unborn life. And here's an example of a state that's doing the right thing.
Yeah, this is a great decision. In a 3-2 ruling, the High Court of North Dakota found that the state's pro-life law banning abortions enacted by the legislature in 2023 remains constitutional, rejecting a lower court's earlier decision to strike down the law. The measure, it's called Senate Bill 2150, classifies the killing of a baby in an abortion as a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Exceptions are permitted only to save the patient's life or protect their health, and such rare abortions must occur in hospital settings. That's very rare.
Very rare.
An ectopic tubal pregnancy might be one of those situations.
Right.
But the baby's not going to survive that anyway, and it would potentially, obviously, have a life-threatening situation to the mother. But that's very rare.
We want to focus on life here.
But here, this is a great decision. So this law came in after Roe versus Wade was overturned in 2022 by Dobbs. And it now creates a felony for somebody who does an abortion, except in those rare situations where the life or the health of the mother is actually at risk.
You know, this is encouraging, though. The law was signed in 2023, and the House was 76-14. In my opinion, it should be overwhelmingly, you know, unanimous.
Yeah, so the state senator, Jane Murdahl, a Republican in North Dakota, a longtime pro-life leader who sponsored the bill, expressed deep gratitude for the court's recognition of the law's protection. She described herself as thrilled and grateful that two respected justices affirmed the measure as fully constitutional, protecting both mothers and unborn children.
Yeah, but then, you know, abortion business, they were losing money, so they had to come after with a legal battle.
Yeah, so they're obviously, you know, this law was signed into effect by Governor Doug Burgum in April of 2023 after overwhelming legislative support, as you mentioned. But there's obviously states like North Dakota, South Dakota. South Dakota was attempted to be changed last year with regards to the abortion amendment. And South Dakota, the South Dakotans went to the ballot box in November of 2024 and soundly rejected that attempted constitutional amendment. So it is solidly pro-life. And North Dakota is solidly pro-life.
You know, even after Roe was overturned, you know, and then now it's in the states, we have to continue to fight. These states are trying to pass these abortion amendments to the Constitution, these other laws. It's a continual work to keep life protected in each state.
Yeah, and so this particular one began not long after Roe was overturned in 2023. So you had the law passed in 2023. And then the legal battle began in July of 2023 when the Red River Women's Clinic abortion business in Fargo sued to block the ban from taking effect in September 2024. A district judge ruled that the law was unconstitutional, arguing that it infringed on women's rights to procreative autonomy and was not narrowly tailored to promote health or protect fetal life.
Where's abortion in the Constitution?
Well, where is it in any Constitution?
Right.
And so what the problem is that you had more consistency to the Constitution the further you go back in our country's history. Then the Supreme Court, in the 60s, 70s, and some of the 80s, particularly the 60s and 70s, became liberalized with an activist majority. And this is the time frame of Roe versus Wade in the 1970s. The state Supreme Courts were still pretty consistent by interpreting their Constitution according to how they should be interpreted, by and large. But what happened is, now that the Supreme Court creates this liberalism, activist judicial philosophy, those particular cases are studied by law school students in their first year of law school in con law, constitutional law. And so the whole generation for decades from the 1970s is raised in a Roe versus Wade kind of environment. Mm-hmm. It's not in the Constitution, so let's just find out what our objective is and let's just reach it as a judge. And then we don't get pushback. The court doesn't get pushback. So the executive and the legislature, they don't push back. They just comply with Roe versus Wade in 1973. So this is how the thinking develops in the law school students, and then those become lawyers, and they also become judges. Mm. And they then get elected to be judges, or they get appointed to be judges, and they sit in on the bench. Well, they've been weaned under Roe versus Wade. And then now that they're in these state Supreme Courts and appellate court positions and lower court judge positions, they look at Big Brother, the Supreme Court, and they say, oh, well, this is what Big Brother has done, so I'm going to follow Big Brother's example. And so that liberalism that began at the Supreme Court now infiltrates the lower court judges. What's happening now in the trend is that the U.S. Supreme Court is shifting, and it's shifting back to more of an originalism and a textualist, originalism as it relates to the Constitution, and a textualist going to the text of the statute as it relates to statutory issues. So it's shifting back, and that's why we have the majority right now. Now, it's going to take a while for those decisions now to also be read in the law schools and to change generations who then gets changed by the system changing over time when they become judges as well. So it's a process, and what we see happening here is the result of this judge in the lower court trying to suggest that North Dakota's constitution has a right to an abortion and this law is unconstitutional. How did that happen? It happened by a flawed legal education and a bad example from the U.S. Supreme Court. And that has to change. It's this kind of judicial philosophy that ultimately in the 1990s instilled in me the idea to start a law school. And that's when I spoke to Dr. Jerry Falwell, who also had a vision to do that. But I had that vision from the need standpoint. I saw what was happening. You can pass laws, you can defend things, you can have your right arguments. But if you have judges that don't care, it doesn't matter. You need to have a whole new generation. And so the good thing is this lower court judge, as flawed as his decision is, has now been reversed. 3-2 decision. It's still a majority decision. It should have been 5-0, but it was 3-2. So this law now is upheld. And North Dakota is now a state that you can't write it off, but it's one of those states that we've won. We've won a bunch of states since 2022. Florida, for example. Florida was one, the most liberal Supreme Court state opinion in the country in TW. And we got that reversed on April 1, 2024. There's no basis for abortion in the Florida Constitution. We've done that with many other state constitutions as well. So this is a great decision, great development. And we have to go state by state by state, passing laws and then making sure that we have these good arguments at the state Supreme Courts to just follow the Constitution, because when you follow the Constitution, you're not going to find abortion anywhere.
Well, you know, we have to get back to a culture that respects life, get back to what the founders created, because without life, there is no liberty. And that's what they sacrificed, their lives, so that we could live that way. So when you have these radical judges and you have this radical that says, well, it's okay to kill your children, that's a problem. So our country needs to get back to where we respect God and respect his creation.
Well, you know, the Solicitor General in this case said, you know, it's clear since the territorial days in North Dakota, that in order to justify the killing of another human being, there must be a threat of death or serious bodily injury. In other words, that other human being must be threatening your life. And obviously, that's not the case with a baby. Mm-hmm. So there is no justification for killing, taking the life of an unborn child. Great decision from the North Dakota Supreme Court. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/life.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.